Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that we worship this day. Amen. I want to talk about the epistle reading today, the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. May our school, our church, ever be a place of God's unending love in His Son. Let's pray as we consider God's word further today. Pray with me. Lord, your word is ever a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. And shine brightly your word upon your church today. Give us faith to believe your word. Draw us close to you that we know your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear friends in Christ, welcome. It is January 31st, 2016. Feels kind of like May and June already, so maybe we can fast forward and get the school year over with. It's such warm weather, huh? What a beautiful day. Good to have you here. A question to begin. How is your life? How is your life? January 31st, 2016. Well, I'm sure most of us would say, okay, all right, pretty good. We might even go to good. How many of us would say, I have an excellent life? My life is excellent. Couldn't get any better except to be in heaven. Let me be clear. We have a church here 147 years, a school here 147 years. Not to teach kids to have a good life or an average life or an okay life or even a very good life, but to teach children to have an excellent life. It's all about excellence. Not just good and okay, but an excellent life. The top life. Superior to everything. Now, before I get to the excellent life, let me say there are a number of things that we can show our children, teach our children. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 or 13 there, the words I want to focus on, he says, and now I will show you a more excellent way. Now I will show you a more excellent way. That's the church and the school. That they show you a way to live out there that's whatever. But here in church and school, we show you the more excellent way. Before I get to that, there are things we can show and teach children. Today, a sermon, because we have all the kids here and we celebrate our school, raising children. And rather than showing children the most excellent way, we can just show children to play. A great temptation in today's world is just to show my kid, teach my kid to play. Play basketball, play football, play volleyball, play soccer, play the piano, play the trumpet, play the flute, be a singer. I want my kid to be the next Peyton Manning. Or maybe after next Sunday, the next Cam Newton, I'm thinking. What do you think? I want my kid to be the next LeBron James, the next American Idol. It's okay to teach children to play, but if that's all we do and that dominates our lives, we've missed terribly. We haven't taught them the more excellent way, have we? We can teach children, show children to pay, meaning to buy and buy and buy and buy and keep buying a lot of stuff that we really don't need, but keep buying and buying. This is the example we can leave them. To be greedy, to be selfish, that life consists in the abundance of things, at least having more than my neighbor, so I look better than my neighbor. And again, we don't do this probably intentionally, but this can be passed on to our children. Life's all about possessions and things and money, and be a greedy little kid and you get whatever you want. We can teach them to pay. If that's all we teach them, we've blown it terribly. We haven't taught the most excellent way, have we? We sadly can teach children to go away. We, again, unintentionally can teach children, you're not all that important to me. I don't have time for you. You're kind of a nuisance to me. My career is more important to me than you. My job's more important than you. My hobbies are more important than you. I'll get to you later. You're about ninth on the list of all the other things I got to do in my life. Again, it's unintentional, but we can pass it on to our kids. And our kid says, I'm not very important. Mom and dad never have any time for me. we've blown it terribly. We haven't taught the most excellent way. And worst of all, we can teach children to stray. We, by, again, example, can teach children to stray from Jesus, to stray from church, to stray from Sunday school, to stray from forgiveness, to stray from the cross, the Word of God. Again, we probably don't do this intentionally, but we do it unintentionally because we just don't go to church that much. Church is an option that will fit in somewhere once a month, once every 2 months, every now and then. I'll squeeze it in. Your kids see that. They know it's not that important to you. And no prayers at home and no devotions. They know what's really important. They watch. Again, it's all unintentional. We don't mean to do that, but it happens. And I see it all over in the church and schools today. It happens. And we've taught them basically to stray. And then what's going to happen to the grandchildren we have when their parents have strayed? May we, as a school, as pastors, teachers, as parents, grandparents, and people that love children and care for children, may we not teach kids just to play or to pay and buy a lot of stuff and have a lot of stuff or to go away because they don't have time or to stray because we don't have time for God either for that matter. May we teach children with St. Paul and the Holy Spirit the most excellent way. That's why we're here. That's why I think you probably send your kids to our school. That's what the church is about, to teach the most excellent way. And what is the most excellent way? It starts with an L, kids, ends with an E, and has an O-V in the middle. And that spells love. And precisely, not any old human love out there. I'm talking precisely about the love of our God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. That is the excellent way to trust that love and to tell of that love. And that is life, and that is excellence. The world won't say that, but who cares? We care what God says. And God says it is the most excellent way. So, mom, you want to be a super mom? You want to be a great mom? And I know you all do. Then teach the most excellent way, the love of God in Christ, and teach it every day. And don't take it for granted that your kid just knows it. Dad, you want to be super dad? The best dad there is? You get a trophy, I'm the best dad? Then teach the most excellent way, the love of God in Jesus. And grandma and grandpa and grandparents and everybody, all the other adults here, we want to be the best grandparents, the best grandma, the best grandpa, the best pastor, the best teachers, the best staff. Then teach the most excellent way. Don't take it for granted. Don't make it a secondary thing over here in the corner. It's the primary thing. It's the only thing. It's everything. The way of God's love in Christ Jesus. And if we don't do it, and the kids stray or go away, we have no one to blame but the person in the mirror. We didn't pass on the most excellent way. And that precisely means that we teach children to trust in God's love in Jesus, to put their faith in this Jesus Christ, God's very Son, not to depend upon themselves, but depend on Jesus, to trust in His birth. He was born and lay in a manger for me, for you, child. He lived a perfect life. He didn't do that for himself. He's God. He can always live a perfect life. He did it for me because I can't. He did miracles for me. He taught for me. To teach above all the cross. Yes, the cross that we hold up in our church. We have it all over the place in our school. To teach the cross where God's Son died to pay for my sins. God doesn't count my sins against me. As far as the east is from the west, so far He's removed my sins from me. God's my friend. God's reconciled to me. God holds nothing against me. God's at peace with me. This is what we got to teach. This is life. Faith in Jesus Christ. God's on the cross where He paid for my sins. Poor, lowly, wretched me. He did it purely out of grace. Teach it and teach it and show it. Teach it some more, the cross and the glorious resurrection on Easter. When I read 1 Corinthians 13, I know we read that often at weddings, and that's fine. But really, it's meditation upon the cross. St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is just meditating upon the 6 hours Jesus hung on a cross. And that's love. Love is patient. Oh, how patient Jesus is as He hangs 6 hours for us. Love is kind. Oh, how kind my Savior is to die for me. We read a little bit longer. Love does not envy or boast. Christ is the humble lamb. He's not boastful. He's not envious. He's not irritable or resentful on the cross. He does it all purely out of love for us. It's the cross. Love bears all things. He's bearing my sicknesses, my diseases, my death, my hell, all of it for me. Love believes all things. There Jesus believes. He's the human who believes in eternal life. He believes that he is the Lamb of sacrifice. He's hoping for eternal glory for all of us, a sure and certain hope. And he endures all things for us. Love never ends. Love never ends. Say it with me. Love never ends. That's the cross. The unending eternal love of God for all people. Boy, girl, man, woman, whoever we are, whatever we've done. When we're sick or well, we have no job or have a job. It's good or bad, whatever. He loves me. His love never ends. His love will take me to heaven and give me paradise, resurrection and glory, the eternal love of God. This is what we teach and preach and must instill in the hearts of kids. Forget about the ball and the money and all that. That has its place secondarily, way down the road. Teach and preach Jesus Christ and his love that our children be in heaven and not just live here on earth for a while, that they be in heaven forever in the eternal love of God. Did you know, I read where our minds are so wonderfully made that our brains can remember up to 10,000 faces. We have the capability to remember 10,000 faces. I don't care, children, if you remember 10,000 faces, especially this big ugly one. And I don't care if you remember 1,000 faces. Or even 100. May you ever remember and know the face of your Savior. The face on a cross with a crown of thorns. And maybe some tears saying, I love you. And I forgive you. You've done wrong, I forgive you. You've strayed, I take you back. I paid for your sins. That's the face to remember, isn't it? At the end of church, we're going to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. What's the refrain? Is the refrain, maybe Jesus loves me, maybe Jesus loves me, maybe Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so? Is that the refrain, kids? Is it possibly Jesus loves me? Possibly Jesus loves me? No. Is it 50-50? Some days he loves me, some days he doesn't love me. It's 50-50. What's the word, kids? Yes, Jesus loves me. Say it with me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Congregation, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. This is what we teach, the yes of God. It's no maybe, no possibly, it's yes, God loves me. It's certainty of faith in this crazy world of ours where crazy things happen. Teach children to trust. That's the excellent life, and then to tell. Don't just stop there then, to be a witness for Jesus and to tell and show forth his love. Parents, the highest compliment someone can give your children, we all want adults out there or teachers to compliment our children. The highest compliment anyone can ever give your child is not that they're smart. It's wonderful to be smart and use your brain. It's important, certainly. That's not the highest compliment. The highest compliment is not that they're talented. Oh, your kid's so talented at whatever. And that's wonderful. Use your talents. That's not the highest compliment. The highest compliment someone can say is, your child is so loving. Your child is so loving. Your child is kind. Your child is patient with other children. Your child is humble. Your child forgives when they're hurt. They don't push back. They forgive. I thank God your child is so loving. There's no higher compliment. I don't care if your kid makes D's and F's. Really don't. That's important to make A's. But someone says your child is so loving and kind. They have a love of God in them. That's what really matters in the end. Read about the sleep habits of animals. You know how long a giraffe sleeps? 20 minutes a night. 20 minutes. And then I read where you have a snail in the desert that can sleep up to 4 years. I kind of like that deal. What do you think, Ted? I'll see you in 2020 at National Lutheran School Sunday. My question is, when's the church going to wake up? How long we've been asleep, and we're asleep in the light of God's love. We're just happy, like we just don't seem to care sometimes. When are we going to wake up and realize there's a hurting, dying world out there that just lacks love. And how are they going to know of love, the love of God, if we don't show it to them? Are you for the Vols or for the Lady Vols? It's a big argument here in Tennessee. I hear it all the time. Vols or Lady Vols? Well, I read where now the state legislature is going to pass some bill and force us to make it the Lady Vols again. And it's only going to cost $221,000 to get the name Lady Vols back with all the lawyers involved and everything else. I just think they need to win a game, huh? I don't really care. I don't imagine you don't care that much either. Here's the name I care about. God has placed the name of Christ on us. We are Christians. We who believe and are baptized are Christians. We bear the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Are you a Christian? I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, we sing sometimes in chapel. You bear the name of Christ and show it. Show it. So make no bones about it. We here in school and church for 147 years, we don't teach an okay life, a good life. We teach the most excellent way of life. To trust in Jesus and to tell of Jesus. That's excellence. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.